Shalom, shalom, shalom. Today is going to be a great day. I called you Yeladim. I meant to say Teledim. Yeladim is children. Teledim, my students or disciples of the Hebrew language. Welcome today, Baruch Haba. And we are going to go over a few things before we get started. I want to give some instructions. If you did not turn in your homework, and your homework was to write all of the words that we have gone over in Hebrew that we've translated in English. So all of those words, you should have written them down. Tonight, Pastor Ben is going to send you a homework package, and this homework package will consist of all the words you've already learned from this day and the words that I'm going to include today in a moment, and you will have to take all of those words and form sentences, okay? as many sentences as you can. Be creative, but if it doesn't make sense to you, that means it won't make sense in Hebrew either, okay? Because we've done this before with a class, and some of the sentences are pretty upside down. You go, that wouldn't make sense even if you said it in English, okay? So anyway, welcome to the class. Today we've gone over Passover, first fruit. Feast of Unleavened Bread. We've gone over Yom Kippur. And we've gone over the feast of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And I want you to understand the purpose of the feast days. Because what's going on from Passover to Tabernacles is a farming expedition. It is God farming the earth, okay? So all the farming in Israel is going to happen from Passover to Tabernacles. As a matter of fact, Tabernacles is the end of the farming season and is actually called the Feast of Ingathering. And that's when everybody's going to bring in. That means the whole harvest has been collected for the whole year. And then now they have this big celebration at Tabernacles. And then, of course, a great festival on the eighth day after the 7 days that they celebrate. Okay, before we get started today, I just want to make sure that I pray us in. And I left my book seder at home. So I'm just going to pray us in, and then we'll get started. Are we ready? Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yikadeshimcha Tavo Mehutepe Yaserot Sanaka Be Aret Ke Asherne Asabe Shamaim Tilano Hayom Lechem Hukeno Uselak Lano et Ashmetenu Ke Asher Solechem Naknu Ashmilano Vial Tevienu Ledemasa Keim Hatzilano Min Hara Kilaha Hamamlecha Vehagivura Vehativ Eret Leolame Leolamim Amen. Okay, we are ready to get started, and today's lesson will be on Tabernacles, okay? So before we get started on Tabernacles, we want to look at some words here, okay? So let's look at the board. Hopefully Pastor Ben doesn't have to get rid of bad people on his computer too much. But here we have Elohim HaKlai. That means God is a farmer. Okay, so the whole purpose of the seven feast days is the farming. It's actually called the agricultural calendar from Passover to Tabernacles. It's an agricultural calendar. So it's going to give you the whole farming season from the barley harvest to the wheat harvest, which is the wheat harvest we are in now. It's the summertime. So, and it's a great time to get raptured because you always want to gather your harvest into the barn at the season it's supposed to be gathered into the barn, okay? So it's now the harvest season, and And so Elohim Haklai, God is a farmer. He's farming the world, and we're about to, in Tabernacles, will be the last of the farming system. We'll go over this, in a little while, because we're going to go through the book, of the Feast of Tabernacles. Here we have some other words that I want you to incorporate into your vocabulary today, okay? And I'm writing the words in English. Later, we're going to write them in Hebrew, and we're going to learn how to build the binyans and all of this stuff and do the vows and go through the pael and the heap pael and all of these things that I don't want to weigh you down with right now, okay? So, here we go. This word is ichol. Ani rosei ichol mashehu. Okay, let's add the word mashehu, because mashehu means like something. I want to eat something, okay? So I'm going to add the word mashehu. That means something, okay? All right. Ani rosei ichol mashehu. Okay, ma'ata rotze ochel. Ani bali a hamburger. I feel like hamburgers, okay? Bali, different types of food, okay? Mashehu, okay? Ichol. Ani rotze ichol mashehu. Ichola, if you're female, okay? The other word is, maybe you don't want to go eat something now, you want to get some shopping done. Say, ani rotze keniot. What is that? I want to do some shopping, okay? Shopping. It denotes that you want to go and buy some things, okay? I want to shop. I want to go do some shopping, okay? Ani rotze kiniyot, okay? Now, you know this word. I'm going to take off the K because it might throw you off. That's Noach, right? Now, you had a long day in Israel, you've been walking around, you've keniot, you have no more money. So, akshav means now, what you want to do is you want to noach. And we know noach is what? Rest, right? So now you want to rest, noach, okay? After you rest, now you meet somebody and you say, I hope this person speaks English, because I can see a few things, but I can't speak great Hebrew. So I see this guy, and I can say, Slicha, we know that, right? That's excuse me. Slicha, medaber anglit. So say, lady, medaberet anglit. Okay? If it's a lady, medaberet anglit, if you're asking a lady. But if you're asking a man, medaber, Slicha, I don't. And he'll say, Ken, medbe anglit of miot. Yes, shuela. Okay, now we won't use that. Okay, so now, lichnot means to buy, okay? Ma ta rotze lichnot, okay? What do you want to buy, okay? Or you say, ane rotze lichnot, a sefer, a book. Ani rotze liknot begedim, clothing. But if it's a specific article and you don't know what that is, you can say ani rotze liknot, point to it and say etze. That means it or that. Okay? So maybe you don't know how to say the word in English, but you know what you want. Okay? You would say to the mocher, ani rotze liknot etze. What is that you want to buy? I want to buy this thing, or this, or that, or it, okay? It just denotes this particular thing. Okay? So, those are the words for today. We're building a survival vocabulary if you were in Israel. That's what we're doing now. Now, later we're going to do something really special. But I'm going to have to give that to you next week, because I want you to concentrate on one thing at a time. And right now, it's the survival words that I've given you in case you are in Israel, or somebody here in America, and they speak Hebrew, and they just want to ask you where the bathroom, and they say, "Slicha, efo ha-shirutim?" You would know, oh, they're looking for the bathroom. That happened to me when I was on a cruise. There was a guy from Israel, and an older guy. He was looking for the bathroom, and so he came and he asked me in Hebrew, and I was able to answer him in Hebrew, and he was so happy that somebody was there that spoke Hebrew. Okay, so. Now, let's get started on today's lesson, okay? I want to make sure that everybody has written this down. If you haven't, you'll have to go back later and write it down. But because what we're going to concentrate on today is this guy called the farmer, the haklai. I told you, Pastor Ben, that I could lose as many as you give me. All right, here we go. I'm erasing all the words. Say goodbye, words. Say goodbye, words. You guys have to go back and look at it in the beginning and write down all the words, because these are going to be added to your list, because we're going to send you out a homework assignment tonight. And you're going to write some sentences and... we're going to have fun. But we want to talk about this right now. Elohim Haklai. God is a farmer, okay? What is he farming? He's farming barley. He's farming wheat. And he's farming fruit. Now, you can't do them all in one season, right? We can't get it all done in one season, or else God could just rapture us all at one time, resurrect us all at one time, and then the whole farming thing would be over in one season and we could go home. But since that it doesn't happen like that, every season has to be farmed in its particular order, and every resurrection happens in its particular order. So we know that the barley harvest left. Okay, right after Jesus Christ resurrected, the barley harvest left. When did the barley harvest leave? Matthew chapter, I believe it's 27, verse 50 through the end. I'm guessing on that. I think it's 27. Okay, the wheat harvest is what is about to occur. Because God is going to take the wheat harvest. The wheat is the church. You can argue about that with someone else, not me. The wheat is the church. Okay? The barley is not the church. The barley already left. So if the barley left that, and the church is still here, that means we're not the barley. Okay? The barley is taken right at the beginning of the spring. But during the summer... we're going to start harvesting the wheat. We're going to harvest the wheat. That's why it's always around the Pentecost time during the wheat harvest. In the fall, God is going to harvest the fruit. Okay? And we're going to learn something about the fruit harvest today. Okay. If you have your books with you today, oh my goodness, I had fun at Bible study last night. Brother John hit me up when I got home. Yeah. And that's my brother right there. He's so excited about the rapture, and I'm excited about the rapture. And today is June 21st. This is the day of the summer solstice. This is the last day of the spring, or the 20th was the last day, but this is supposed to be the ending or the crossing over from spring to the summer. And so we know that summer is near. We should be looking for a harvest and a wheat harvest. Okay, here we go.
What page in the book, Pastor?
We are on page 34 in the book. I hope you have the pages in your book. Let's see. Anybody there saying that they don't have a page 34?
Nope, not yet.
Okay, here we go. This is us here. I forgot to remind us once again, we had class today, so I don't know how many of you guys are here. Okay, but that's awesome. 62 people, and you guys didn't get a reminder. That's 62 diligent people. Praise God. Okay, here we are. We're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay. The Feast of Tabernacles is called Sukkot. Okay. Last week we talked about Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur comes the Feast of Tabernacles. But it's only 5 days later, after Yom Kippur, you're going to have the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? So the Feast of Tabernacles denotes a lot of different things that are going on, okay? Because during this feast, God is requiring Israel to do some things, and these are requirements that they are supposed to have a holy convocation until what? What's the convocation? The dress rehearsal, the mikra, okay? Until this mikra has reached its performing date, until it's live and it really happens, you are to perform this every year, okay? So the Jews have already done they've done Passover. They celebrate Passover every year, Feast of First Fruits every year, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then they count the 50 days of Omer, and they come to Pentecost, and then they celebrate the Feast of Shavuot, so the Feast of Weeks. Then they say, okay, now the Feast of Weeks is over, and then they wait until the Rosh Hashanah. Then they blow the trumpets for the trumpets for Rosh Hashanah, and they blow 100 trumpets for Rosh Hashanah, and they start the new month. After Rosh Hashanah, 10 days later, they celebrate Yom Kippur. And then that's the day of covering. This is the day that the judgment is supposed to happen, or the covering, or the atonement. Well, actually, Rosh Hashanah should be the day of judgment, and Yom Kippur should be the day of atonement, okay? And then 5 days, only 5 days after Yom Kippur, they celebrate Tabernacles, which is called the Feast of Ingathering. What does it mean? The last harvest of the year has been completed. So now it is time to celebrate. And God says, this is how you will celebrate. You will celebrate for 7 days. You're going to celebrate. Let's read this on page 34. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 39 through 42. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month. I like that God does that. None of the months have names. Yeah. Everything is the seventh month or the 15th day, okay? So it says, also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep the feast unto the Lord 7 days. What are they gathering in? The fruit of the land. What does that tell you? The fruit is being gathered at the end of in the month of September in the fall, okay? So the fruit harvest is now, okay? And it says, on the first day, it shall be a Sabbath. And it says, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath, okay? You shall take you on the first day, the bra of the godly trees, the branches and the palm trees and the bra of the thick trees and the willow of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. And you shall keep it as a feast unto the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a status forever in your generation. And you shall celebrate the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. So for that 7 days, excuse me, not only are they going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, they're going to build these booths, okay? And in these booths, they're going to dwell in them for 7 days. What is that representing for God, okay? Because God is not just doing that for something. It's celebrating his whole plan. For these 7 days, we're living in temporary booths, okay? But at the end, at this very end, we will not have to live in temporary booths forever, okay? So God wants us to know after this particular time will be a resurrection at time you will receive your permanent dwelling place. So he's giving you an example through the Feast of Booths that you're going to build these temporary booths. You don't really live in them, but after the harvest is over, you'll have your regular tabernacle that you can live in. And so this is what this is representing. Okay, I'm going to read it just so we can kind of understand. Okay, it says, God has always wanted to tabernacle amongst us from the very beginning, as we can see in this verse. Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle. So God has Moses in heaven, and he says, when you get back down there, build me a tabernacle so I can dwell among my people. Because God wants the tabernacle with us. That's awesome. I think that the God who created everything actually wants to live amongst his creation, okay? And it says, the word dwelt in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, that word dwelt means to tabernacle. So the word of God was made flesh. It was made flesh and it tabernacled amongst us. Tell them to go away.
Who are they?
It's Korah's daughter. Yeah. So, anyway, so now it says that the word of God was made flesh and tabernacled amongst us. So here we have Jesus Christ. He's the word of God, and he tabernacles. He comes to live amongst us. Now, there is proof in scripture that Jesus Christ was born during the month of tabernacles. But we're not going to go over that today, okay? Because there's one popular rabbi guy who says, no, he was born in the spring. But the scriptures prove that Jesus was born during tabernacles, okay? And then John proclaims it here, and he says, the word of God was made flesh, and he tabernacled amongst us, okay? So, now, it says, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, it says, and I heard a great voice from heaven saying, behold, because this is going to be in the end times, right? Because we're talking about tabernacles being the end of the story. Because when Jesus actually comes back to the earth and he builds the temple, he's going to live in that temple and operate in that temple for 1,000 years and rule over the world for 1,000 years from the temple that he's going to build in Jerusalem. So it says here in Revelation 21, and I heard the voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. Okay, so at some time, God is going to come, he's going to rebuild the temple, and he's going to live amongst us, and he's going to reign and rule out of Jerusalem. This is part of God's plan, and as we're reigning and ruling with him for that 1,000 years, all of the anointed who have the Spirit of God. Okay, we also see that this is the goal of God in the second Zechariah. Okay, let's go over to page 35. Now, this is, you know, the Bible talks many times about the second coming, okay? And the Bible talks many times about the coming of the Lord. Sometimes it's talking about the coming of the Lord, but all of the things that show that he's talking about that coming is a second coming, which he's going to actually land on the earth and he's going to begin to reign and rule. That is the second coming of Christ. Now, there is the day of the Lord, which is when he comes and he does his harvest. But every time he comes and he harvests, he comes and he harvests from the clouds. and he pulls the harvest up to him, he does not come back to the earth. Jesus is only coming back one time. Okay? You say, well, you know, if he, people, post-trippers say, oh, if he comes back, you know, and this time, that means you're saying he's coming back three times. No, coming back means actually coming to the earth, not the clouds. It means coming back, putting foot on the earth, then you are back, okay? You can't say you're back if you come to the clouds and then call us up. You never came back, okay? So God is going to, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back to the earth. And that's when he comes on the second return of Christ. He's coming back to build the temple and to dwell amongst men and to reign and rule for 1,000 years. Okay. Now, so Zechariah 14:4 says, and his foot shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. Zechariah 14:16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which are coming against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So we see that the feast is important to God. He demands mankind to keep it during the 1,000-year reign. And then to go and say, whichever nation refuses, they shall be greatly punished. So everybody during the 1,000-year millennium is going to have to go to Jerusalem and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? I'm going to tell you because I know he's celebrating the birth of his son. He's celebrating the birth of his son, or the crossover of God into the material world, okay? So this is the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, let's see if we need to read 2 Corinthians 5:1. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have the building of God and house, not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. 1 Peter 1:14, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. So even Peter is telling you that we know that this body is temporary. At sometimes we've got to take off this tabernacle because it is a shakot, it's a temporary booth. Okay, we're living in it, and if you understand that you're a spiritual being living in a temporary building, you'll know and you'll live as you have somewhere else to go and another permanent home to live in and another body that God has for you. Okay, so that's very important to realize while you're walking here on earth, because some people get caught up in the fact that we're in the body and they think this is really reality and this is as far as we're going. You know, I mean, there's nobody who built booths of the Israelites who became depressed because they were living in a little booth. They knew, okay, at the end of 7 days, we can go back to our real homes, okay? And God wants you to think like this. It's not permanent. Your house that you're living in, it is not permanent. If you're having problems with your house, don't worry. It's not permanent. You have a permanent house that God is building. Stay in Christ so that you can live in your true dwelling place. Okay, here we go. I'm gonna turn this on, Pastor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was on.
I don't know how to turn. Yep, I did it.
It went good.
I'm good. All right. So here we are. Now, it says also here that the Feast of Tabernacles is also called the Feast of the Nations. And because the nations are going to be, there's a sacrifice or an atonement made for all 70 nations, because in Genesis chapter 10, the nations were 70 nations that came out of Egypt. Now, what I want to get to is this part here. On page 36, we're talking about the Feast of Ingathering, okay? Because the Feast of Ingathering is the last of the harvest, okay? That means, look, the barley harvest, they're already in heaven. After we get raptured and resurrected, we'll be in heaven. Who's left? Who's the fruit harvest?
The tribulation
saints and Israel. Because Israel is part of this harvest. Here, let me write something on the board here. I'm going to write a little Greek. Greek is not my language. It's Greek to me. Okay? But here, we're writing a Greek word. And it is the word in Greek called the fruit. Okay? This word has a numerical value of 541. The same value as the name in Hebrew for Israel. Okay? So, now watch. Same numerical value. Why? As we learn gematria, we're going to learn something that is very valuable to God. And this is what you need to learn. A four is a four. You understand? If I tell you that 3 plus 1 equals 4, and you say, here's 3 plus 1, you know that that's 4, right? If I tell you 2 plus 2 equals 4, you're going to say that's also 4, okay? Am I going to tell you, oh, I'm sorry, it's not 4 because it's 2 plus 2, okay? It's still 4. You understand? If I tell you, no, 0 plus 4 equals 4, you're going to say, well, that's not 4. No, it is. All of them are 4. They're just different equations, but they're telling you about the same number. And what's that same number? 4, okay? This is how Hebrew is written, okay? Because in Hebrew, I'm going to tell you numerically what that is by equating it in a numerical system. And this is how you understand and know that the Bible is written by God, because he's not only matching words, he's matching numbers. And see, numbers don't lie. Like, people argue with me about different scripture and things like that, and I go, okay, but the numbers don't lie. So if I'm telling you something, I'm only telling you not because it matches by word and scripture. I'm telling you because the numbers don't lie. And when we get into gematria, if we're here that long, we get into gematria, you'll see the amazing thing of God to do numbers. Like, you do something like this. You say, okay, 296 in Hebrew is the rock, okay? And in Deuteronomy, God keeps telling them, you have rejected the rock. You have not submitted to the rock. The rock is your God. Okay. You get to the rock, and then you go, okay, what does the rock have to do with anything? This times 3, because God is eternity, is 888, which is who? Jesus. Okay. So God is going to tell you that the rock who you rejected is Christ, the fullness of God, the whole Trinity, because Colossians said the fullness of God dwelt inside of Christ. So the fullness of God is the 888, who is the rock. You understand? So the numbers are going to tell you every time what something is. So this is what God did for you. He said, so that some crazy person doesn't come along and say that the barley is the church is the barley harvest, or the church is the fruit harvest, I'm going to make the numerical value for Israel 541. And I'm going to make the numerical value for Israel in Greek 541. So that you'll know that Israel is what? The fruit. Okay? So God is harvesting. He's looking for a fruit harvest now. Okay, but he's not looking for the fruit harvest right now. You know why? The wheat hasn't been collected. We're still waiting. That's why we're anticipating the rapture, because we know that the wheat harvest has to be gathered into the barn first. After our turn, then it'll be time for tribulation saints and to bring Israel into covenant. Okay. I'm back on my book now. Okay, so this is the Feast of Ingathering, okay? Huh? We're on page 36. Now look, here's what it says. Exodus 23, verse 16. And the Feast of Ingathering, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is at the end of the year, okay? When thou hast gathered in thy labor out of the field. See that? It's the last of the harvest. This is the harvest that ends the agricultural year. It is known as the final harvest. Our Thanksgiving, like what we have for Thanksgiving, is modeled after they stole it from tabernacles. That's why they have always everybody were bringing in all the harvest, and they got the corn and they got everything set up and the fruit. And this, we stole Thanksgiving from the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? So the Feast of Ingathering, and we call it Thanksgiving. Why? Because that's what tabernacle is. Thank you, God, for the full harvest and for supplying the rain to give us the full harvest for the whole year. And we call it Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. So last year, somebody tried to get me stop celebrating Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh, my God, why? It's the time we get to thank God for what he's done for us, right? But it derives from the Feast of Tabernacle to thank God for the full harvest of the whole year. Okay? Now, it says here, now look at what we find in Revelation 14. Oh my goodness, watch this. He tells Yeshua, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Thus, thrust thy sharp sickle and gather the cluster of the vines of the earth, and her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in its sickle into the earth and gathered the vines of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of God's wrath. Now, listen. First of all, because we're not reading the whole from the Bible, but maybe we should, so you can see this whole thing. When Jesus is going to come down, we're going to go through this. Put that away, and if you have a Bible, let's look at the Bible.
Still Revelation.
We're Revelation 14. Now, why is it in Revelation 14? Because it's the end of the tribulation. Who's already in heaven? The barley and the wheat are already in heaven. It's the end of the tribulation. Now, in Matthew, John says, Jesus Christ is ready with his winnowing fork to gather the wheat into the barn. That's us, okay? Because we belong to Christ. We belong to the wheat harvest, okay? Now, we're at the end of the tribulation, and he doesn't have a winnowing fork for the wheat. What does he have? A sickle, okay? I know enough from living in Miami, if you wanted to get the mangoes off the tree, you went with a sickle. You didn't go with a winnowing fork. You'd poke holes in the fruit. So you went with a sickle, and you began to cut the fruit off of the tree, okay? So in Revelation chapter 14, verse 14, it says, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Okay, now I want to talk about this, because here we are, we have Jesus coming down to a cloud. Okay, you're like, wow, that sounds like the rapture from Thessalonians. There's a big difference. When he came down in Thessalonians, he had no crown on his head. It was never mentioned. And the thing that God omitted mentioning that he had a crown, because there had not been a crowning service yet. You understand? But there is going to be a crowning service when we get there. And it's already documented in Revelation 5 and Revelation 6 that there is going to be a crowning service once we get there. A matter of fact, they're going to take off our crowns and we're going to throw them at his feet, and we're going to declare that he is the only one deserving of wearing a crown. Okay? And so now he comes down on a cloud. He has a crown on his head. That means the crowning service has already happened in heaven. And we're on this cloud, and Jesus is given a sickle. And the angel tells Jesus, go and harvest the clusters of grapes from the earth, for the time has come to gather the clusters of grapes. Okay? He goes down, and this happens at the feast of Rosh Hashanah. So let's look at this, okay? Let's finish looking at this, okay? Now, it says in verse 15, it says, then another angel, okay, after Jesus, okay, 14 says, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on it, on the cloud, was one like the Son of Man, with a crown on his head, and he had a sharp sickle in his hand. Then the angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was seated on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. This has nothing to do with Revelation chapter 4, which Jesus comes down to a cloud and we see a door open in heaven and he says, come up here. And then all of a sudden John's in heaven and then he sees all of these things going on. This is a whole nother, and the first time I told somebody there's going to be two raptures, they go, no, he's only rapturing the church. No, he's rapturing the wheat harvest, and he's resurrecting the wheat harvest. Because some of us that are part of the wheat harvest died during our time here on earth, okay? Paul, I mean, I'm sure Paul would have loved to experience the rapture, but he was at the beginning of the church. You got many of the church fathers and many great people who have lived in Christ. They have died. OK, now to be out of the body is to be present with the Lord in what? In spirit, because in heaven there are spiritual bodies and there's a natural body and there's a resurrected body. OK, the people in heaven who are in spiritual bodies who belong to the church do not have a resurrected body yet. They're waiting for their resurrected body because they see the barley harvest saints, the Old Testament saints, in resurrected bodies. And they go, wow, I want a body like that. I want to have a body just like Christ. Christ says, look, it's not your turn yet. The wheat harvest is coming. And at that time, your bodies will be resurrected and they will come out of the grave. And you will meet with those who are living as Christians on the earth now. And you will come up first, and then they will be raptured and be caught up with you. And you will both meet and we'll celebrate. And then we'll go up to the third heaven. And then we'll have the banquet. Then we'll have the crowning service. And then, you know, I'll show you for 6 months all of the glory of the kingdom. And then by that time, we'll open the seals and begin the tribulation judgment will begin. Okay? It's a planned sequence, okay? That's why I was happy about Brother John last night. You know, the reason why, you know, I was going through the numbers and all this, I'm understanding that he understands that this is the season and he's excited. And the Holy Spirit is saying, this is the season, be excited, okay? Man. So, so we see there that he harvests is that, okay? So, and that's Rosh Hashanah. Now, what do we know? I want you to do a little bit of review with me. What do you know about Yom Kippur?
The incense, right? They got to throw the incense on the fire, right? Because Yom Kippur is about to happen, so we're going to put the incense and we're going to start the fire, because a smoke has to be created. Because if everyone sees the presence of God, everyone will die. So Jesus can't come back without a cloud. Do you understand that? He's not coming back with a cloud to be like, you know, be really cool and do something really cool. He's coming back on a cloud to protect those that aren't going to die, so that he can judge those that are going to die. You understand? So here we are.
15 minutes, Pastor.
Great. Okay, in verse 17, it says, and we're still in Revelation chapter 4, verse 17, it says, another angel came out of the temple of heaven, and he had a sharp sickle in his hand. Still another angel had charge of the fire and came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle. Take your sharp sickle, he's talking to the angel, and gather the clusters of the grapes of the vine, because the grapes are ripe. The angel swung his sickle. See, Christ is not swinging his sickle. This is an angel swinging his sickle, because the grapes that were good have been raptured by who? Jesus Christ. Now the grapes that are bad are being gathered by who? An angel. Listen, what for? The angel swung his sickle on the earth and gathered the grapes and threw them in the great wine press of God's wrath, and they were trampled in the wine press outside of the city, and the blood flowed outside of the press, rising as high as a horse's bridle, and then 16 stadia and all of that, right? So we know that now the rest of this tribulation, people that are on earth are getting ready to be judged. But what's the first thing he does? Verse 18, still another angel who had charge of the fire came from the altar. What's he come from the altar with the fire for? Because he's putting the incense on the altar, because he's creating a fire, because now Jesus is about to return, and he's going to return on a cloud, okay? Now, after Jesus, this judgment happens, Jesus comes back and he's on a cloud, right? He lands on earth. He destroys all the nations that were trying to destroy Israel. And then he sets foot and the mountain splits. And then if you read Ezekiel chapter 40, I think through 45, you'll see he begins to build the temple. Okay? Once he finished building the temple in Ezekiel, I think 45, he tells Ezekiel, come here, I want you to see something. And he says, look inside the temple. And he shows him the place where he's going to reign and rule from. He said, this is where I'm going to reign and rule from for 1,000 years and forever. This is going to be my position, and I'm going to tabernacle amongst men. Okay? So this is the Feast of Tabernacle, is the end of the harvest season. Okay? Now, we're going to celebrate for 7 days. How much time we got, Pastor Ben?
10 minutes.
Okay, 10 minutes. Next week, you're going to turn in your homework. Okay? When you turn in your homework, there's one other thing that I want you to write down right now, and I'm going to write it down for you so you can watch me as you write, okay? Because we just finished celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's a crazy thing that happens, because God says for us to celebrate for 7 days. But watch this. Here we go. Wait a minute. Huh? We're going to turn over. Let's see here. We're going to turn over. Oh, my goodness. There's so much material. Okay, we're going to turn over to page 39, where it says, the eighth day is Shmini Atzeret. Okay. If you're on page 39 and it says Meniot Tourette's at the top of the page, this is what we're going to go over next week, okay? Meniot Tourette's. So we're going to come and we're going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Now watch, I'm going to read Leviticus chapter 23, verse 34 through 36. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. The first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall have no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day, you shall have a holy convocation. Okay? Another feast. Okay? And it says it will be another holy convocation. And you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a secret assembly, and you shall do no customary work. So they celebrate for 7 days, and then the eighth day, they have another celebration. Why? Okay, why an eighth day? Is God's plan 7 days or is God's plan 8 days? Because after the 1,000-year millennium, something else happens. Okay, what happens? The old earth, the moon, and the sun flee from the presence of God, and they are seen no more. Okay? The glorious city that God built for us comes down out of the clouds, and there's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And he says, and there will be no more counting. So now we've entered into, on the eighth day, a brand new dwelling place. It's not like the old earth, okay? Remember when Adam was created, God took him and put him in the garden. I hate to say it because people say, oh yeah, the Adam that he created and put in the garden was created on the eighth day. Now, many of you are going to lose me on that because you're insisting that God only created man on the sixth day and then we were done. No, when he created man on the sixth day, he was not done. On the seventh day, he rested. And then after he rested on the seventh day, he created a man from the dust and breathed into his nostril and took him and planted him in the most perfect part of the earth, which was paradise, to represent what? On the eighth day, there's going to be a brand new man, and he's going to live in a paradise. And this is going to be the eighth day celebration. So now, because we're crazy as Christians, we think that the Pope created Sunday. The Pope wasn't there when God created the days. He could call it Bluma Day. For all he cares, there's no such day as Bluma Day, right? Whatever the Pope called it does not make it that, okay? The eighth day is Kadosh. We just read it. It is a holy convocation. What? The eighth day. So what is the eighth day? If you're looking at your page, I'm not going to write it. It says the first day of the week, they call Sunday. God calls it Yom Rishon. The second day of the week, they call Monday. God calls it Yom Shani. The third day is called Yom Shiloshi, which they call Tuesday. The fourth day is Yom Arba, which is Wednesday. The fifth day is Yom Chameshi, which they call Thursday. The sixth day is Yom Shish, Shishi, which they call Friday. And the seventh day is Yom Shabbat, which what they call Saturday. Okay, now we go back to the eighth day, and that becomes the first day, which is what? Yom Rishon is called Sunday. So the eighth day is really what the pagans call Sunday, but God calls it Meniot Tzeret, and you will celebrate my eighth day. Why? Because my son is going to be resurrected on the eighth day. Okay? And so the eighth day is Kadosh to God. It is holy to God because it is the day that his son resurrected from the grave. Okay, because the women went to the tomb on the morning of the first day of the week, and they realized that Jesus Christ had been resurrected. You understand? So we're going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. The harvest is in. Jesus is back. He's building the tabernacle. So now we finished our 7 day feast, and God says, okay, now celebrate again for the 8th day, because now we're going to have a real party. The Jewish friend that I kept, Rabbi Bruce Itzach Bruce, he says, listen, Sandy, if you have never celebrated Shmini Atzeret, you don't know what a real party is, because that's when we really celebrate, okay? So the 8th day is very significant to the Jewish people. Why? Because they're the ones doing the dress rehearsal for us. You understand? If you really want to find out what's going on, go to a Orthodox synagogue and see how they walk into the synagogue on Yom Kippur, and everybody's wearing white, okay? Then watch them celebrate for 7 days, and then watch them have a real big party on the 8th day. And you go, what is this 8th day all about? They're celebrating the new creation of God, the new beginning, okay? So we're going to go over Shmini Atzeret next time. I want you, you're going to get a homework assignment tonight that's going to tell you to make as many sentences out of these words as possible and turn them in. Take your time, okay? Because I want to see who creates the most sentences, okay? Sensible sentences. You get no credit for sentences that don't make sense, okay? All right, so praise God, and we're going to say goodbye, and we're going to say, Yivareka Adonai Yishvareka, Yair Adonai Panavileka Vehuneka, Yehasei Panavileka Veyasem Lekai Shalom. I'll see you guys next week. Litriot.